Wonder how many of you this evening like conflict? You know, you just thrive on conflict. You know, I guess there's some people maybe that enjoy conflict, but I would suppose, I know myself personally don't necessarily just enjoy having, you know, conflict is probably one of those things that you don't necessarily enjoy. You know, maybe you're going to family gathering and you know there's like this issue that's, you know, you don't see eye to eye with somebody on, and if you bring it up, you know there's going to be conflict. Or maybe there's already conflict in the family, and you're just like, well, I am not looking forward to going to this family get-together because there's some sort of conflict going on. Well, there is one conflict that we do definitely not want to get in, and that is conflict with God. You know, you think of the opposite of conflict with God, and that is the eternal peace that we can have with God forever in heaven because of salvation. Romans 5, verse 1. You know, in Romans 5, it's slipping my mind right now. Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, thankfully, for all eternity, we can have peace with God instead of the eternal, so to speak, wrath of God, the eternal conflict, so to speak, of hell that we do not want to have take place. But we can have peace with God. Well, this evening, we're going to look at someone that ended up having conflict with God because he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. Let's go to the book of Jonah this evening. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look at this conflict that Jonah had with God, and we're going to look at three truths that can hopefully instruct us, that can work in our lives regarding conflict, that will keep us from having this conflict with God. Jonah 1, verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here we find the conflict that God had was with the city of Nineveh. But now in verse 3 it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah here is seeking to flee from the presence of the Lord, really from the place of service that God had for him. He's seeking to get out from under the place that God can use him. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. How was this conflict with God? How did it begin in the life of Jonah? Well, I believe one avenue that conflict with God can be created is conflict with God is created by selfishness. I think you'll see in the Word of God, another big way that conflict with God is created is by pride. And I think you can see that evidence as well in Jonah's life, his pride, when he went a different way than what God wanted him to go. But in the life of Jonah, we see that his conflict with God was created by his own selfishness, his own desires to have what he wanted take place. You know, why did he not want to go to Nineveh? Well, verse number 2 of chapter 4 says, "And he prayed unto the Lord." I mean, here he's very angry. "And said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Jonah wanted the city of Nineveh to be destroyed. Jonah wanted to see his enemies destroyed. And he didn't want to go to warn them because he knew how God operated. And he knew that God was a God of mercy and a God of compassion. And that if these people would repent of their sin and turn to the Lord, that God would spare them of the evil that he had pronounced against the city. So Jonah thought, well, if I don't obey God's commands and I run from the place that God has for me, that then this will not take place. And so his conflict with God is created by selfishness, by focusing on what I want. You know, when we focus on what we want in life, what is it going to create? Well, it is going to create conflict. You know, think of your own family. When people are focused on themselves, when they're focused on what they want, what does it produce in a home? Well, it produces the works of the flesh. You know, envy, variance, strife. The works of the flesh. But more than that, it can make us come in conflict with God. You know, what was Satan's great sin? Well, Satan's great sin was pride. You know, and what did he say? He says, I will this, I will that. You know, who was Satan focused on? He was focused on himself. You know, there was pride there, but there was also selfishness, and selfishness will bring us in conflict with God. You know, children, when you want your way, young people, when you want your way, you know, and what your parent says goes against what you want, or what your teacher says goes against what you want, you know, really, ultimately, who are you coming into conflict with? Well, you're coming in conflict with God's authority in your life. And here Jonah is coming in conflict with God's authority in his life because he was focused on his own selfish ambition. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 21, and here we have an example of selfishness that brought somebody in conflict with God. First Kings chapter 21. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give it, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread." You know, here we have Ahab, a grown-up man, having a, you know, a pity party. You know, here he's going to show everyone that he did not get his way, and he doesn't like it. You know, have you ever seen somebody doesn't get their way, and they're just going to show it on their faces? I didn't get my way, and I'm going to let the world know, so to speak. Now, here he's in his own house, but, you know, whoever comes in contact with him is going to know what? Well, I didn't get my way. You know, he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? Because he didn't get his way. Verse 6, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And so here they're going to use the wrong means to accomplish what Ahab wants because of his selfishness. You know, I have to have this vineyard. I got to have what I want. You know, is that the attitude of our hearts tonight? I've got to have what I want. And I'm going to do what's necessary to get what I want. Or maybe you don't get what you want, and so it influences others to get what you want for them, because they know you're going to be in a terrible mood until you get what you want. You know, and Ahab, if he wouldn't have had his pity party, Jezebel wouldn't have what? Gone out and done what she did. And I wonder tonight, are your actions influencing others to do things because of the selfish spirit in which you are acting? But ultimately, we find out in this story that Ahab came in conflict with God because of his selfishness. Verse 8, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And so we find that they killed Naboth. And let's go on here. Verse 16, it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. He gets what he wants. Verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood. Even thine. You know, now Ahab has a bigger problem on his hands. He has come into conflict with God. Why? Because of his selfish behavior. Because he had to get what he wanted. And so he was willing to commit sin to get what he wanted in his life. Now I wonder this evening, is there something that you want? Do you live life on a daily basis, having to get what you want, and you are willing to commit sin in your life so that you can get what you want? You know, are you willing to commit sins of the Spirit in your heart because you have not gotten what you want? You know, are you willing to get angry with people? Are you willing to hold bitterness in your heart against people because you have not gotten what you want? Well, now you're in conflict with who? Well, now you are in conflict with the God of heaven. You know, Cain wanted what? Cain wanted his way. You know, God wasn't pleased with Cain. Cain wasn't able to have things the way he wanted. And Cain came in conflict with God. And there's maybe more than just that to the story, but there's probably elements that Cain, you know, he wanted to worship God a certain way, and he wasn't able to do it. And God was pleased with Abel, but he wasn't pleased with Cain. But notice in the life of Jonah, how was this conflict with God continued? It was rooted in selfishness, but we find that this conflict with God was continued by disobedience. It says here in verse number 3, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish." So we find here his conflict with God was continued now by disobedience, or really in a sense it was manifested by his disobedience. And, you know, notice this disobedience that he committed. His selfishness cost him something, didn't it? He says, "So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." You know, Jonah was willing to dish out money to what? To go the opposite way from where God wanted him to go. You know, whatever way we go in life, it's going to cost something. You know, you want to go the way of the world? Well, guess what? It's going to cost something. And, you know, the blessing of the Lord, what is it? What's that verse? "It maketh rich, and he what? He addeth no sorrow to it." You know, you can go the way of the world, but you're going to get a lot of what? You're going to get a lot of sorrow added to your life. You know, the way of God, you know, there may be some cost, so to speak. You know, if he had to travel to Nineveh, well, there may have been some cost involved. Maybe not as much as getting on a ship. You know, but one added sorrow, the other adds blessing. You know, which one do you want to pay for? You know, if I said, "Yep, tonight you can, you know, you need to, or tomorrow night you need to go out to eat somewhere. You know, at this restaurant you can go out to eat and..." You know, this restaurant you can go and you can get food poisoning, or this restaurant you can go and have a good meal and you won't get food poisoning. Well, which one are you going to pay for? Well, I don't think any of us would want to choose a restaurant that has, you know, food poisoning. I mean, one time we went to a restaurant. We were doing a landscaping job in Waterford. And there was this little restaurant there, and, you know, they always had this little sign outside. It was like burger, fries, and a shake for $3.95. I think it was $3.95. And so I told her, "Hey, let's stop there." I'm like, "If it's bad, I'll take you out to Uncle Harry's afterwards." Well, anyways, we stopped. It was Mr. Mark's Cafe. Has anyone in here ever experienced Mr. Mark's Cafe? Anyone? You really experienced that? Okay, well, it's not in existence any longer, but Mr. Mark's Cafe was, I don't even know what the name of the road for sure, but it's the one that, there's the True Value store in Waterford, and it was like a kind of across the street from True Value Hardware Store, Mr. Mark's Cafe. But anyone remember the place now? Mr. Perleberg's been there? Oh, Karen Johnson's been there. Well, if you've been there, it probably was a unique experience. I don't know if you had the same unique experience as we had there. But anyway, I don't think the place, last time I was by there, well, I think it's been out of business for a while. And I understand why after we went there. But anyways, you know, we sat down at the table, and I think we ordered our food. And, you know, I think they brought us, you know, the ketchup on the table. I think it had gone rancid. And, you know, I think we had our French fries. I think some of them were even a little green. But, you know, when potatoes get sunburned, they turn green. But anyways, my brother, I think, asked for some more ketchup because the stuff was rotten on the table. And the guy went back. I think he just get ketchup from another table? And then I think they might have saw him, you know, taking some ketchup packets or something and squirting them into the ketchup bottle, like on top of the ketchup that was in there, something like that. But anyways, it turned out to be not a very good experience, and I ended up having to go, you know, take him to Uncle Harry's afterwards. But, you know, if you know that a restaurant's, I don't think any of us got sick, thankfully, from it, but, you know, if you know that a restaurant was going to give you food poisoning, what are you going to do? Are you going to pay money to go eat there? Well, I don't think so. But in life, many times, we want to run from God. We want to go our own way. We'll disobey God, and we're willing to what? We're willing to dish money out to go our own way. And what do we reap from it? We reap from it sorrow. And it makes no sense. And it's really, it's foolishness to go our own way. And it's interesting what the people here say to Jonah. Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? You know, even to these men on the ship, it made no sense that Jonah was going his own way, fleeing from the presence of God. You know, it's interesting, you know, what I believe was in the Barnes commentary, what he said about this is that the idea of fleeing from God's presence was not that he was sort of, so to speak, fleeing from the presence of God. He would have known that God was omnipresence, but he's fleeing from the presence of God, from standing before him, so to speak, as his servant and minister. He didn't want to be in the place of God's presence anymore, where he would serve God and be used as his minister. He set about removing himself as far as possible from being under the influence of God and from the place where he could fulfill them. So Barnes wrote, Jonah was what? Jonah wanted to run from the place of the service of God. Why? He didn't want the results. And most of us would stand here thinking, why in the world would you not want to go somewhere because you were afraid that people were going to get saved? You know, that you were afraid that people were going to turn to God. And it's really, it shows the faith that Jonah had in God. Jonah understood God's operations. Now, it doesn't seem too well, though, that he understood the operations of God when you run from God. But he did seem to understand the operations of God, that when you follow God's leading, when God pronounces judgment, when somebody will turn to God, God will have mercy on them. And Jonah didn't want that to happen. You know, he had something, again, these were their enemies. You know, he didn't want his enemies to be spared God's judgment. And I wonder in our own hearts, is there some area of selfishness that is keeping us from obeying God tonight? You know, maybe there's even somebody in your life that you don't want to reach out to and minister to because you're afraid of maybe the blessing of God that will come upon their life if you're willing to spend time with them and minister to them. You know, is there an area this evening of selfishness that is hindering you from obeying God? That conflict with God is going to be continued by disobedience. You know, when we are running from God, what we're doing does not make sense. It's going to cost us something, and it also doesn't make much sense. You know, you try to talk to somebody that's running from God. You know, many times they don't want to what? They don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to what you have to say. But running from God doesn't make sense. And here the men even recognize, and they're like, what are you doing? Why hast thou done this? I mean, the men saw the storm. The men saw what was going on. The men saw the great trouble that they're going through. And it's because of what Jonah had done. You know, and that conflict that we have with God can bring conflict into our own lives. And it can bring conflict into the lives of those that are around us. Now, I wonder tonight, is there somebody else in your life saying, why are you doing what you're doing? You know, look at what it's bringing our family into. Conflict with God is continued by disobedience. But thirdly, I'd like to see that conflict with God is covered up by comfort. Conflict with God is covered up by comfort. Notice what it says here in verse number 5. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." You know, there was this great conflict happening. What was happening in Jonah's life? If you would have looked at Jonah, would you have thought anything wrong was going on? No, he was sitting there sleeping. In a sense, he was oblivious to what was going on. And this conflict that he had with God was covered up by the comfort that he was in the present time. You know, we have to be careful that we don't look out at people and say, boy, they're not doing what's right, but things kind of seem right now to be going okay. You know, somebody could have walked down and maybe looked at Jonah, and maybe it looked like at the present everything was going fine. But they were in a great storm. And they were in what? Danger of their lives. You know, in Isaiah chapter 30, it talks about how Israel was like a breach in a high wall. Let me go to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 13. It says, "Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant." You know, you can have maybe a great wall, and, you know, there's some issues with it. You know, maybe that issue can even stand for a while. Maybe that, you know, you think of some of these bridges. You know, they'll hold out for a while. You know, but when that bridge comes crashing down, you don't have time to what? You don't really have much time to get out of there, do you? That bridge goes down, it goes down. And here you got a wall. You know, and that wall comes crashing down, and what? Boom, it happens like that. You know, and we can run from God, and we can seem to have comfort, but that comfort can be there, and just like that, it can be what? It can be gone. And we must be very careful of falling for the deception that, boy, things seem to be going okay for them, but yet they're running from God. Or maybe even in our own lives, we're self-deceived. And maybe you're running from God tonight and you say, you know, things seem to be going okay. I'm going my own way. There's not any huge troubles in my life right now. Maybe you're even kind of spiritually sleeping, so to speak. You know, and Jonah is down in the bottom of that ship. Jonah is fast asleep, thinking everything's just fine and dandy. And what's happening? There's a great storm happening. And others around him see what's going on, but he's fast asleep. And he has a great conflict in his life with God, but it's covered up by his own personal comfort in the present moment. But guess what? That comfort was soon to be over. And pretty soon he was going to be inside a great fish. And it wasn't going to be very pleasant inside that fish. You know, that comfort can seem to be okay, but that comfort can very quickly be gone. Let's go to Psalm number 73. Psalm 73 and verse 3, what does the psalmist say? It says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Verse 7, "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." But notice later on, when he gets the right perspective on life, what does he see? Verse 18. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction." Verse 19. "How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with tares. Then verse 22, he says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. But notice that. How are they brought into desolation as in a what? As in a moment. And you know, conflict with God, there can be, it can be covered up by the present comfort. But that comfort can be gone very quickly. You know, this evening things may seem to be going okay in your life, but if you're running from God, guess what? You are in conflict with God this evening. And that seeming comfort that you are in can be over just like that. You know, and you need to take the warning of God. You need to take the warning of His Word. And you need to turn from your own selfish ways. And you need to humble yourself before God so that you can come into a peaceful relationship with Him. You know, the Word of God, there's the example of Belshazzar and the feast. And here's all the people feasting, having a great and grand time. But what was going to happen? Well, that night, the city was going to be what? The city was going to be destroyed. You know, all those people are having a great, grand time, partying, doing what they want, you know, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. But it was all going to be what? Be over quickly. And all that great feasting, all that great partying, somebody could have walked in there thinking, boy, these people are having a great time. What a powerful, you know, what a powerful nation. What a grand time they're having. But it was all going to be what? It was all going to be over. You know, the deceitfulness of sin. People look at the pleasures of sin, but the pleasures of sin are for a season. You know, Jonah went his own way, and he's on that ship, and he's asleep in the bottom of the ship. But soon he was going to be, he was awakened out of his physical sleep. And he was going to be rudely awakened, so to speak, out of his spiritual sleep as he was cast into that ocean. And now he is in the belly of that great fish in great turmoil. You know, think of, I mean, just the terrible conditions that he was in. You know, there was no more comfort. He was in great agony of spirit and great agony of soul. Are you in conflict with God this evening? Is there a job, a place that God has for you, but you're going the opposite way? You know, things may seem for a time like they're going just fine. But guess what? That can end just like that. And before you know it, that conflict with God will come to a head. And you will experience the result of that conflict. You know, Proverbs chapter 1, you know, wisdom is crying out, seeking to warn people from going the wrong ways. You know, she crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words. Verse 24, it says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You know, and we have the opportunity to do God's will. When we have the opportunity to align ourselves with God's plan, we need to take that opportunity because we don't know when when or if we will have another opportunity to do so. You know, young person, while you're still young, you know, especially those, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, you know, are you going to surrender yourself to God's plan for your life? Are you going to give yourself to Him while your heart is still tender, before it becomes hardened by sin? Are you going to take the opportunity to give yourself to God, to submit yourself to His plan before other things come in and crowd out what God has for your life? You know, I wonder this evening, maybe your heart has been hardened, so to speak, by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, you know what? The story of Nineveh is a great illustration of God's mercy. You know, will you turn to Him this evening? You know, Jonah got out of that situation that he was in, and he went to Nineveh. But you know what? That selfishness was still what? Was still lodged in his heart. You know, and he was more concerned about that plant that died, that was shading him, than he was about the souls of the people in Nineveh that were dying, or that were going to die. You know, I wonder this evening, do we have selfishness in our hearts that's bringing us in conflict with those around us, but more importantly, is bringing us in conflict with God? And that conflict is manifesting itself in areas of disobedience in our life. Do we see the warning tonight? You know, there may be, things may seem to be going okay in your life right now, but we must wake up before the destruction comes, or else it will be too late. And you think of when a volcano erupts. You know, how much time do you have to get out of there? Well, hopefully you heeded the warnings of the people that were warning that this volcano is about ready to erupt. And you better watch out. You know, you better get out of there. If you don't, you know, people can be living in great comfort thinking, well, everyone said this volcano was going to erupt and it hasn't erupted yet. And you could be sitting there laughing. Well, they said it was going to erupt 3 days ago and it still hasn't erupted. And you could be sitting there laughing at all those that predicted that it was going to erupt. And what could happen? 5 seconds later, that volcano could erupt. And what would all your laughing do for you then? Absolutely nothing. You know, we need to take the opportunity that we have right now. You know, you're sitting here this evening. God is giving you an opportunity to follow His plan, to follow His will for your life. How are you going to respond? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would see the seriousness of coming in conflict with You. But Lord, You don't want us to be in conflict with You tonight. You want us to live in peace. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there is something in our hearts that is creating conflict with You tonight, Lord, that we would see the danger of it. And while things may be seeming to go just fine, Lord, all that could be taken away very quickly. And Lord, I hope, Lord, may the Spirit of God work in our hearts tonight. And may we see things, Lord, from Your eternal perspective than from our limited temporal perspective. With heads bowed and eyes closed, first of all, I wonder, are you saved tonight? You know, you don't know when your next chance could come. You don't know if you'll have another chance to accept Christ. You have a serious conflict with God if you are not saved tonight. I wonder, is there anyone tonight that would say, you know what, Pastor John, the Lord is working in my heart of my need of salvation. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord is speaking to your heart about your need to be saved. Could you raise your hand? Anyone like that tonight? I wonder tonight, as a believer, you know, is there an area maybe of selfishness that God has pointed out in your life? And that selfishness that is in your heart is really being exposed by maybe an area of disobedience in your life. You say, you know what, the Lord, Pastor John, has spoken to my heart, and you know, I want to get that right with Him tonight, so I can have the right relationship with God. So I don't have to experience the same trouble that Jonah went through, so that God can use me in the way that He wants to use me in. Say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has worked in my heart in an area maybe of selfishness or disobedience that He has exposed in your heart this evening. Is there anyone like that tonight? God has worked in your life. All right, is there anyone else tonight? God's working in your heart. Dear Lord, we just pray that You would take Your word. Lord, may it be a warning to us. Lord, I pray for those that You've spoken to their hearts, that You would just give them the grace, Lord, to have the victory in this area of their lives. And Lord, for those that may still be struggling, Lord, I just pray that You would illuminate and bring conviction, Lord, to their hearts. Lord, that we would not run from You, but Lord, we would instead come to You and humble ourselves before You. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.